Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best. For today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, dengan Warta Berita.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Coordinating Economic Affairs Minister says Indonesia's economic growth unaffected by global pressure. Indonesia and Japan signed Memorandum of Understanding on the repatriation of Japanese Army frameworks in Papua and West Papua. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalot Pane. Coordinating Economic Affairs Minister Darmin Nasution expressed belief that Indonesia's economic growth will continue in spite of the current global pressure. During a meeting with the budgetary board of the House of Representatives in Jakarta on Tuesday, Minister Darmin said that the global economy is inconducive, especially after the trade war and various global political upheavals. The minister held discussions with Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, and Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, over the work and budget plans of ministries and non-ministerial government institutions. Nasution noted that the other indicator of economic growth, such as inflation, had also shown consistent improvement. During the 2015 to 2018 period, the average annual inflation was in line with the government's set target of below 3.5%. The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Education and Culture and Japanese Embassy in Indonesia, signed a Memorandum of Understanding on excavation, collection, and repatriation of the remains of the Japanese soldiers who died on the Second World War in the province of Papua and the province of West Papua, Indonesia, on Tuesday. The agreement was signed by the Director General of Culture, Ministry of Education and Culture, Hilmar Farid, and Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia, Masafumi Ishii, at the Ministry of Education and Culture Office, Jakarta, on Tuesday. Hilmar Farid said the repatriation cooperation was an extension of the previous cooperation by including a number of revisions.
Ekskavasi memang sudah pernah dilakukan sebelumnya, dan sekarang sebetulnya perpanjangan.
The excavation has already been done before, and now it's actually an extension of it. And of course, there are some minor revisions that are in accordance with our current situation. So, the discussion is quite long, and now, alhamdulillah, it is finished, completed, and the cooperation will continue. Meanwhile, Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia Masafumi Ishii said that there were at least 20,000 troops in World War II who were still in Papua. The Japanese government will send a team to carry out the repatriation of these remains. Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Siwi Sukma Aji said that as many as 29 countries and one regional organization attended the International Conference on the Preparation of the Modern Armed Forces for the maintenance of peace in the 21st century. He hoped this activity would emerge as one of the positive contributions of Indonesia and the entire country to a more peaceful and prosperous world. The discussion at the conference were related to the protection of civil society in armed conflicts, peace operations, the role of women in peace operations, and the role of military medicine in peace missions. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla opened the conference, emphasizing the important role of the armed forces in determining the effectiveness of peace mission. According to Kalla, The armed forces are the backbone of the UN peacekeeping mission, which needs to be developed continuously. The UN peace mission requires modernization that is not only limited to technology as well as modern doctrine, but also to the capabilities and capacities needed by the peacekeeper. Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujastuti has called on Indonesians to curtail the production of plastic waste, as it can degrade the environmental quality, especially in oceans and rivers. The minister urged the public to use bags not made on plastic that can be reused multiple times. Susi noted that Indonesia would venture in the right direction of its people begin reducing plastic waste. In the meantime, Nico Amrola, chairman of the strategic study of the Indonesian Traditional Fishermen Association, remarked that plastic waste polluting the country's waters had proven to be disadvantageous to fishermen, as plastic waste contain hazardous substances that can be consumed by marine biota. The coordinating minister for maritime affairs has outlined a target to reduce marine debris, mostly plastics, by 70% by 2025, in line with Presidential Regulation No. 83 of 2018 on handling of marine debris. During the 34th Summit of ASEAN Health in Bangkok on June 22, ASEAN leaders and Indonesian President Joko Widodo adopted the Bangkok Declaration on Combating Marine Debris in ASEAN region. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The government has been urged to scrap the import tax for aircraft components to incentivize airlines to adhere to a request that they cut airfares for domestic flights. PT Garuda Maintenance Facility Aero Asia Acting President Director Tajar Marta Kurniawan said that of the total 300 spare parts that were imported, the government imposed the import tax on 275 of them. On June 20, the government reiterated its call to domestic airlines, particularly low-cost carriers, to lower airfares for certain times and destinations. The government also called on aviation stakeholders to provide airlines with incentives. The plan to provide incentives through the elimination of the import tax for aircraft components was included in an economic package introduced by the administration of President Joko Widodo. Tajar said GMF, a subsidiary of flag carrier Garuda Indonesia, plan to discuss the elimination of the import tax with the government. The third National Park and Nature Tourism Park Festival, FTNTWA, will be held in Peninsula Island, Nusa Dua, Bali on July 19 to 21. This is the third time after succeeded with two previous performances in Banyuwangi and Prambanan, Yogyakarta. This was said by the organizer of the National Park Festival and Nature Tourism 2019, Dian Sahyati, in a written statement in Jakarta on Thursday. The festival is one of a series of National Nature Conservation Day event organized by the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, which are participated in by national parks and natural tourism parks all over Indonesia. With the theme Bijak Berwisata Alam, or Wise for Natural Tour, Dian Sahyati said, the National Park and Nature Tourism Festival 2019 is aimed to socialize ecotourism, especially related to the existence of national parks, natural tourism parks, and other natural tourism to the community, especially the younger generation. Indonesian Manpower Ministry Hanif Dakiri is eyeing on sending 70,000 specified skilled workers to Japan, which constitutes 20% of the country's demand for highly skilled migrant workers. Minister Hanif, in between signing the Indonesia-Japan Memorandum of Cooperation at the Manpower Ministry headquarters on Tuesday, said that within the next 5 years, the ministry eyeing on taking 20% or 70,000 workers out of the total of 350,000 specified migrant workers that Japan needs. Minister Hanif mentioned that this partnership is a chance for Indonesia to meet Japan's demands for Indonesian workers that are within the productive age. Japan has greatly contributed to the future of this program by providing internship opportunities in Japanese corporations. The line of work available for this program consists of nurses, building cleaning and maintenance management, tools and machine components industry, industrial technicians, electronics, and information sector. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is the commentary. The title of commentary for today's edition is U.S.-Iran Tension Continues. Without taking diplomatic steps, the United States imposes new sanctions against Iran. President Donald Trump in Washington has issued an executive order that imposes tougher sanctions. If previously they were only economic sanctions on the Iranian government, Washington's new sanctions specifically also applied to Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei. According to Trump, new sanctions targeting the office of Iran's highest leader were put in place in response to shooting of U.S. drones, as well as other matters. Donald Trump said Ayatollah Ali Khamenei was chosen specifically because he was most responsible for Iran's hostility towards the United States. The U.S. sanctions were imposed after Donald Trump said Ayatollah Ali Khamenei was chosen specifically because he was the most responsible for Iran's hostility towards the United States. The U.S. sanctions were imposed after Donald Trump canceled a military attack on a number of targets in Iran. The new sanctions on Iran, however, can be considered as Donald Trump's policy of avoiding a war that might have a wider direct impact, including the Iranian civil society. Nevertheless, it is undeniable that harsher trade economic sanctions will have a long-term impact on Iran's domestic economic conditions and for the Iranian people themselves. With the new sanctions, the United States has locked Iranian assets in the U.S. worth billions of dollars. The new Iranian sanctions also prevented the access of Iran's supreme leader to financial resources to foreign financial institutions that assist the Iranian government. Through more stringent new sanctions, Donald Trump also oversees and limits the relationship between parties with an interest in Ali Khamenei. It seems the United States targets in the end that the Iranian government will surrender, accept negotiations, and stop its nuclear production activities altogether. Iran itself responded to the new U.S. sanctions with a strong attitude. As stated by Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Abbas Mousavi, the new U.S. sanctions will not affect Tehran's decision or attitude. Strictly speaking, in a statement at a press conference in Tehran, the Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman stressed that the new U.S. sanctions on Iran did not have any impact. Thus, it can be said that the tensions between U.S. and Iran will continue. That's commentary.
We begin today in history with the event on June 26, 1949. The Charter of the United Nations was signed. The Charter of the United Nations is the UN Constitution, which was signed in San Francisco on June 26, 1945, by 50 original members of the United Nations. This charter started validly on October 24, 1945, after having been ratified by five founding members, namely Republic of China, France, Soviet Union, United Kingdom, as well as United States of America. This charter is a constituent agreement and all signatories are bound by its contents. Moreover, the Charter also explicitly stated that the Charter of the United Nations has power more than all other agreements. This Charter was ratified by the United Nations on August 8, 1945 and became the first country to join the United Nations. We turn to the event on June 26, 1988. International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking was first commemorated. International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking Illegal Drugs has been and is commemorated every year, every June 26 since 1988. This date was chosen to commemorate Lin Sisu's demolition of the opium trade in Hunan, Guangdong, China, before opium war in China. The commemoration was stipulated by the United Nations through General Assembly Resolution 42/112 on December 7, 1987. It became a form of solidarity and cooperation to achieve the objectives of the international community to be free from drug abuse. We end the Today in History with information from June 26, 2000. Pramudia Anantatu received the major award at the 11th Fukuoka Asian Culture Award. Pramudia Anantatu is assumed to be the most important writer in Indonesian literary history in the 20th century. His work has been translated into 37 languages and has been nominated for several times of the Nobel Prize for Literature. On June 26, 2000, he received the grand prize at the Fukuoka Asian Cultural Award. The award is the prize given for achievement in the field of creation and Asian culture preservation. The award was given since 1990 by the city government of Fukuoka, Japan. Pramudia received the award because he was considered to have a role in introducing Asian culture to the world through his literary works. Listener, that was Today in History.
Kau bukan hanya sekedar indah. sekedar indah.
Kau tak akan terganti. Kau tak akan terganti.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's My Indonesia entitled ADB Praises Indonesian Economic Growth. Asian Development Bank President Takehiko Nakao said the good Indonesian economic growth became a model in Southeast Asia. This was said by Takehiko Nakao during his meeting with Indonesian President Joko Widodo during the 34th ASEAN Summit in Bangkok, Thailand on Sunday. That was said by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi on the same day. President Joko Widodo and Takehiko Nakao discussed the economic growth in Southeast Asia, especially Indonesia. Minister Retno Marsudi explained, in particular, ADB President expressed his appreciation toward Indonesian economy that grew well amid global economic uncertainty. In a meeting with ADB President Joko Widodo was accompanied by Coordinating Minister of Economic Darmin Nasution, Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung, and Indonesian Ambassador to Thailand Ahmad Rusdi. Meanwhile, ADB President Takehiko Nakao was accompanied by Southeast Asia Regional Director General Ramesh Subramanian, Southeast Asia Regional Cooperation Director Alfredo Prediguero, and Senior Advisor Yoichiro Ikeda. In a press release on Sunday, Nakao explained that his visit to Joko Widodo was to affirm ADB's support for Indonesian reformation agenda and ADB's operational expansion plan in Indonesia. Nakao also said Indonesian reform agenda is essential to achieve inclusive and sustainable growth as well as common prosperity. He added ADB welcomed Joko Widodo's focus towards developments of human resources and infrastructure, including the water supply, sanitation, energy, and transportation. Developing Indonesian expert manpower is important to make the country's economy more modern and service-oriented. In April, ADB released Asian Development Outlook 2019, which estimated Indonesian economy will grow 5.2% this year and 5.3% in 2020. However, in their report, ADB revised this year's growth from 5.3% into 5.2%. Founded in 1966, Asian Development Bank had 68 members, 49 of which are in Asia. In 2018, ADB provided new total loan commitment and grant to Indonesia amounting to $21.6 billion. ADB's routine loan for public sector to Indonesia that keeps growing the recent years is predicted to reach $2.9 billion this year. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Dirimu akan darinya
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder is about blue fire in Ijen Crater. Mount Ijen is an active volcano located at the border between Banyuwangi and Bondowoso Regency, East Java. The mountain, which has an altitude of 2,779 meters above sea surface, is located side by side with Mount Merapi. Mount Ijen last erupted in 1999. One of the most famous natural phenomena of Mount Ijen is its crater on the peak. To climb the mountain, the climbers can start from some places. They may start from Banyuwangi or Bondowoso. The Ijen Crater is an acidic crater lake with 200 meters deep and 5,466 hectares wide. The crater lake is the biggest acidic lake crater in the world. Every morning around 2 until 4 local time at surrounding, the crater's blue fire can be witnessed. The burst of the unusual blue fire make anybody who come to the Ijen Crater ignore the smell of the sulfur. This phenomenon only occurs in two countries in the world, namely Iceland and Indonesia. That's why some domestic and foreign tourists visit Ijen Crater. To go to the Ijen Crater's blue fire, you should climb from Pal Tuding, a high getaway as long as 3.8 kilometers. Seeing the scenery of surrounding area also meet with miners of sulfur may release our fatigue when climbing the mountain. Most of the lanes are the slope of 25 and 35 degrees. In addition to climbing, the soil structure is also sandy, so that it adds to the increasingly heavy footsteps because you have to hold your weight so you don't slide back. The best time to watch the blue fire in Ijen Kraten is at dawn. From Pal Tuding climbing post, at least you need 3 hours to get to Ijen Krater. Ideally, at 1 o'clock in the morning, you have started climbing. Besides looking at the beauty of the blue fire, you will also witness the beautiful panorama of Ijen Crater at sunrise. In the area, you can also buy many kinds of unique souvenirs that are made from sulfur. To enter Ijen Crater in Banyuwangi, domestic tourists may pay around 5,000 rupiahs on weekdays for entrance ticket, and on weekends, the ticket is worth 705,000 rupiahs. Meanwhile, the foreign tourists may pay 150,000 rupiahs on weekdays and 1,7500 rupiahs on weekends. So please come and witness the beautiful blue fire at Ijen Crater in Banyuwangi, East Java. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Berawal dari tatap, indah senyummu memikat, memikat hatiku yang hampa lara. Senyum membawa tawa, tawa membawa cerita, cerita kasih indah tentang kita. Terkadang ku ragu, kadang tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini terluka. Kau membuatku tertawa di saat hati ini terbawa, terbawa oleh cintamu untukku, untuk kita. Terkadang ku ragu, kadang tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini terluka. Kau membuatku tertawa oleh cintamu untukku, untuk kita.
Alright listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabularies and tips on how to use them in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is shopping or berbelanja. Next is a conversation about berbelanja or shopping. Tony and Enda are shopping at Jalan Malioboro. Silakan cari apa, Pak? Ada selendang, Oh, maaf, tidak ada. Yang lainnya, Pak? Kemeja, blus, kaos. Tidak, terima kasih. After the conversation, now I will introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to our topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice, so you can follow after me. First, silakan, cari apa pak, which means, please sir, what are you looking for? Once again, silakan, cari apa pak, which means, please sir, what are you looking for? The next one is, ada selendang. Once again, ada selendang, which means, is there a scarf? The third one is, oh, maaf, tidak ada. Yang lainnya, pak, which means, sorry, there is no scarf. Any else? Once again, oh, maaf, tidak ada. Yang lainnya, pak, which means, sorry, there is no scarf. Any else? Next, kemeja, blus, kaos, which means shirt, blouse, t-shirt. Once again, kemeja, blus, kaos, which means shirt, blouse, t-shirt. And the last one is tidak, terima kasih, which means no thank you. Once again, tidak, terima kasih, which means no thank you. When you are at a shopping center, you usually heard the salesman say, cari apa, which means, what are you looking for? You may answer the question by mentioning some goods that you are looking for. I will give you an example. Cari apa, kak? What are you looking for? Cari apa, kak? What are you looking for? Saya mencari kaos, which means, I'm looking for t-shirt. Saya mencari kaos, which means I'm looking for t-shirt. Or you can also ask him about something that you are looking for. Another example is, silakan cari apa, what are you looking for? Silakan cari apa, which means what are you looking for? Ada kemeja batik lengan panjang, which means, is there long sleeve batik shirt? Once again, ada kemeja batik lengan panjang. Is there long sleeve batik shirt? Sometimes when you are at a shopping center, the salesman will also say, silakan bu, lihat-lihat dulu. Silakan bu, lihat-lihat dulu, which means, please, take a look first. The offer means that you are allowed to see something or kinds of goods that are provided at the shop, even though you do not want to buy it. Well, if you do not find something that you are looking for, but the salesman offers you other kinds of goods and you do not like it, you can refuse it by saying tidak terima kasih, which means thank you. Once again, if you cannot find something that you're looking for and you the salesman offers you another one, if you want to refuse it, you can say tidak terima kasih, which means no thank you. I shall give you more examples. Ada kemeja putih? Is there white shirt? Oh, sedang kosong. Kemeja warna lainnya mau? Ada biru dan hitam. Sorry, there is no white shirt. Do you want to see other colors, the blue and the black ones? Tidak terima kasih, which means no thank you. Once again, ada kemeja putih? Is there white shirt? Oh, sedang kosong. Kemeja lainnya mau? Ada biru dan hitam. Sorry, there is no white shirt. Do you want to see other colors? The blue and black ones? tidak terima kasih. No, thank you. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation one more time. Silakan, cari apa, Pak? Ada selendang? Oh, maaf, tidak ada. Yang lainnya, Pak? Kemeja, blus, kaos. Tidak, terima kasih. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to enrich your knowledge about Indonesian language. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Tak sulit mendapatkanmu, karena sejak lama kau pun mengincarku. Tak perlu lama-lama, tak perlu banyak tenaga, ini terasa mudah. Kau terima semua kurangku, kau tak pernah marah bila ku salah. Kau selalu memuji apapun hasil tanganku yang tidak jarang payah. Jangan cintai aku apa adanya, jangan tuntutlah sesuatu. Biar kita jalan ke depan, yeah. Kau terima semua kurangku, kau tak pernah marah bila ku salah. Kau selalu memuji apapun hasil tanganku yang tidak jarang payah. Jangan cintai aku apa adanya, jangan tuntutlah sesuatu, biar kita jalan.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, now we present a song to you entitled Balada Pelaut. The song comes from Manado, North Sulawesi, is often played in various events in Indonesia, such as wedding ceremony or reunion. The music arrangement of the song really suitable to sing together. The lyric of the song Balada Pelaut has two characters. The first character is taken from the sailor's wife perspective. The wife said that her husband often changes his attitude while going to sea. He is no longer faithful, habit of spree, and just remember his family when the money runs out. While another side of the lyrics comes from the sailor's perspective, he worries that his wife is no longer faithful to wait for his return. Well, listener, here is the song Balada Pelaut by Koni Maria Mamahit.
Thank you.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter @VoiIndonesia, email voi@voinews.id.